Well, it's my great privilege now to introduce our guest speaker today, Steve Clifford, who's the General Director of the Evangelical Alliance. Just a few words before I invite Steve up onto the stage. I doubt that he'd remember this, but the first time I met Steve was about nearly 25 years ago, I think, on an evangelism training day at the Wycliffe Centre up near Wickham. And Steve, when we got too religious, Steve made us stand on our chairs and shout, "Hallelujah, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb." So if there's anybody here with a seat today, I'd be afraid, actually. Over the years, Steve's been a great friend to River Church, and we've had the privilege to work with him and alongside him in all the various aspects of work he's done with the Pioneer Network. And over the years, as you'll see in your programme notes, he's been instrumental in driving some of the UK Church's most dynamic projects, to name but a few, March for Jesus and Soul Survivor. And of course, Hope 08, and the reason that we're gathered here today, really, is a tribute to Steve's vision and leadership. So I'd like to invite him to come to the stage now to speak to us. Just give him a warm welcome as he comes up. And what I'd like us to do is just to pray for Steve before he speaks. So if you'd like to just stretch out your hands, let's pray a blessing on this man. Father God, we thank you for Steve. We thank you for a man who's not been afraid to take up your challenge. We thank you for his love for your people and for your church in this country. And we want to pray for him and for his family. Just bless them, Lord Jesus. Bless them with everything they need, with vision, with strength, with courage. Lord, and I pray it'll be a real joy for him as he continues to lead your church in this country. Bless Anne. Bless Jake and bless Jordan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great. Thanks, Pete. 25 years ago, I was only 10 years old at the time. He lies. It's great to be here with you this afternoon now, isn't it? I actually love events like this. There's something about us as the church, where from all our different kind of labels that we carry from one week to the next, to forget the labels and to be able to be together. And actually, there's something prophetic about us being outdoors. It's particularly great when the sun is out, or it did come out a little while ago, didn't it? And it's particularly great when it's not raining, at the very least. I understand last year it rained. But there's something prophetic about us being outside of our buildings and in the open air. You know, we don't really belong as the church in buildings. I know we need our buildings, but we kind of belong outside of the buildings, making a difference in the world in which God has placed us. And so, thank you for inviting me. It's great to be amongst you. It's great to see. I had a little wander around the stalls. Great to see what's happening here in this kind of community we know as Marlow. And I want just to take a few moments, and I'd love us to read a particular passage of Scripture, which is in John chapter 17. If you've got your Bibles, I actually had a look around. I didn't see loads of Bibles. Maybe when we go outdoors, we don't bring our Bibles with us. That's cool. But let me read a passage in John 17. This is the kind of great prayer of Jesus. And this is actually, it's interesting, we pray the Lord's Prayer, but actually the prayer which we know as the Lord's Prayer is kind of really the disciples' prayer, because he's teaching his disciples how to pray. But this is a prayer that gets us into the heartbeat of God. I want us just to capture a little bit of the heart of Jesus. It's just a few hours, actually, before he's going to go, be arrested and taken to the cross. And we capture something of God's heart in this prayer. Let me just read a little bit of it to you. "My prayer," says Jesus, "is not for them alone." He's talking about his disciples there. "I'm praying for those who will believe through their message." That's us. He's praying for us. "That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and you are, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world might believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you and me, that they may be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You know, as we hear that prayer 2,000 years on from when it was first prayed, we capture something of the heartbeat of God, and it resonates with that word unity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this community together. The early church fathers were struggling to find ways to describe it, and one of the ways that they used was actually describe it as a dance. A dance of relationship, of mutual love and affection for each other. Out of that dance of relationship, that community, a decision made to create the world which we live and to create beings, us kind of beings, beings made in the image of God. Now, whenever I taught unity, and as kind of the general director of the Evangelical Alliance, I'm still getting used to that particular title, I have to confess. Whenever I talk unity, and I talk unity quite a bit, when I talk about it, Christians' reaction is often, yes, but. Yes, Steve, we know it's important. We know it somehow captures the heartbeat of God, but. And sometimes it's not very easy, is this unity thing. And it mustn't be. What we pick up in the heartbeat of God when we listen to that prayer is not an institutional unity. It's a relational unity. It's not unity for the sake of unity. Have a kind of look around for a moment. Just, I know it's a bit scary, but just have a look around the park. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We gather here, and you know, from week to week we gather in other settings, but today we're here. And we've got different labels, but we are family. We're part of the family of God. That's why it's so important that we find opportunities to gather in places like this. It was wonderful for me as International Chairman of March for Jesus way back in the 80s and 90s to see the church being the church, not just in the UK, but actually across the world. 60 million people in 180 different countries marching for Jesus. That's unity. That's the family of God unity. And the beautiful thing about days like today is that we gather as family, but there's also an opportunity for us to include others in on the family of God. It was a few years ago now, Anne and I were, Anne being my wife, we were away at a Christian conference, and it was one of these conference centres that actually had a swimming pool there. And Anne and I decided, it was a bit of a break, that we would go and have a swim in the swimming pool. So we arrived down at the swimming pool, and I went into the men's changing room, as you would expect, and went into the ladies' changing room, and I got involved in a conversation in there with a friend of mine. So I was a little delayed in getting changed, but eventually I arrived at the side of the swimming pool. Now, I don't know if you've ever kind of walked in on an event and somehow you know it's not quite right. In fact, it happened to me last night. I went to a friend's 40th birthday. We arrived at the door, knocked at the door. The door was opened, and I knew things were not quite right. In fact, I said to the guy who answered the door, "We are here on the right occasion, aren't we?" And he said to me, "No, it's next week." It was slightly embarrassing. It was one of those kind of moments at the side of the swimming pool. There was Anne in the water, and there's a guy swimming at pace away from her. It turns out what had happened is this, that Anne had arrived at the side of a swimming pool and had seen me in the water with my back to her. She dived in, swimming up behind me. She began to embrace me, starting at my shoulders and working her way down to my waist. Fortunately, by the time she got to the waist, she realized it wasn't me. the guy swimming away from her was actually... Well, the next morning, actually, at the conference, I asked Anne to stand, and I asked the guy who Anne had embraced to stand as well. It turns out that the guy who was standing was actually about 20 years old, so somewhat older than I am. He was about 10 stone, I'm 14 stone. He was about 5 foot six, I'm 6 foot four. I asked the leaders who were there, does he look anything like me? And they all went, not at all. You see, we're different. The unity that Jesus is talking about here isn't a unity where we all look the same. Will we all have to conform? No, it's a unity in the midst of the diversity of who we are. Have another look around. The family of God is diverse. And this is only today a little snapshot of the church here in Marlow. But the church across the world is incredibly diverse, and yet we're one family. The family of God. You see, this unity that Jesus is praying about in John chapter 17, yes, it's a unity that makes God happy. Yes, it's a unity that ought to be making us happy. But it's unity with a purpose. Let me read this the prayer again to you. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they be in us. Wow. Wow. Somehow that this unity, it draws us into the heartbeat of God so that the world might believe that you sent me. I in them, you in me, that they might be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. You see, in the prayer of Jesus, there's a so that. There's a so that. And the so that is that this amazing message, and you know, it's a message of hope. I love wherever I look across this park today to see this hope logo. I've been traveled all over the country, wherever during 2008, and I saw that logo. You know, it's a wonderful word, is that word hope. And the message of Jesus, we call it the gospel, is a wonderful message of hope. And the message is simple. It's there in the prayer that Jesus was sent by the Father. And that God loves people. You know, that's a message we all need to hear, isn't it? It's a message which is perhaps, well, I would say is the most important message that can be communicated in our world today. That God loves people. And that he sent Jesus out of his love for people. I got the privilege in 2008 going right across the country, seeing the church at work. The strap line that we put was to do more, to do it together, and to do it in words. That's what we're doing right now, and in actions. And it was amazingly encouraging what I saw. You know, I don't know about you, I get incredibly frustrated with what I hear on the television and hear on the radio and read in the newspapers about what the church is supposed to be like. I want you to know what I saw that year. The church isn't like that. The stereotype of a church which is boring and irrelevant and all it wants to say is no, isn't the kind of church that I saw and indeed continue to see. As I travel across the country, we had this dream when we started Hope, and the dream was that we might see in 500 different locations across the country Hope happening. Well, we ended up in just under 1,500 locations. Some amazing stuff took place, big stuff. you know, almost every high school in Manchester having a schools team going in there. 700 young people on the streets of Cardiff, clearing graffiti, clearing up rubbish, and communicating the love of God. Small things. 15 guys in a small village just outside of Leicester deciding they're going to clear up their community centre and spending 2 weekends clearing it up. The church being the church in all of its diversity. One of the things that happened big time was the explosion of street pastors. I love, you know about street pastors? Little wave of a hand, you heard about street pastors? Yeah, okay. All over the, I love the thought that all over the country, on a Friday night, on a Saturday night, you ask the question, where are the Christians? And the answer is, between 11 o'clock in the evening and 3 o'clock in the morning, Christians in nearly 200 locations across the country are actually on the streets. And as people are coming out of the pubs and clubs, often had too much to drink, there are Christians handing out water, helping them to get to taxis safely, praying with them, communicating something of the love of God to those who are coming out of those pubs and clubs having had too much to drink. Handing out, I love this bit, handing out flip-flops. Now, why do you hand out flip-flops, you might ask? Let me tell you, if you've been to a club and you're wearing high heels, so it tends to be the women, during the course of the evening, it's very easy for you to get disconnected from your high heels. And you leave them, you lose them. You come out at the end of the evening without any shoes and you walk onto the streets. And let me tell you, the streets of our cities on a Friday night and a Saturday night are not great places to be walking in your bare feet because, forgive me, there's urine and there's glass. And there are the Christians. What are they doing? Handing out water and handing out flip-flops. Do you like that? That's great, isn't it? That's the church being the church. See, I believe we're living at a pivotal moment in our nation. There's amazing opportunities in that this time. Who would have imagined, even 2 years ago, that we would have been through what we've been through in terms of the loss of confidence in some of those institutions that we've just taken for granted, whether it's the financial institutions. Who would have imagined the loss of confidence in our banking system, where we ended up with some of our major high street banks close to insolvency? Who would imagine the credit crunch, the recession, all the issues that have been associated with that in terms of loss of homes, loss of jobs? And then, of course, we've had the loss of confidence in our political systems, institution of politics with the expenses scandal. And, of course, sadly, there's been the loss of confidence in some of our religious institutions and what has happened in certain of the Catholic Church and the issues around child abuse. These are a time where people are asking questions about the nature of our society, of how we do society. What we want, not just for our children, but for our children's children. What's our world going to look like 50 years from now? And I want to suggest that this is an opportunity for us to engage in that conversation. It's not a time for fear. It's an opportunity for us to engage, whether it's in the local coffee bar, the Costa or the Starbucks, whether it's down the pub, whether it's in the place of our workplace or our school, place of education, but to engage in the conversation as to the nature of the kind of world that we want to live in. And I want to suggest, let me put it to you, that the Christian faith is good news for the health of our nation. Physically, emotionally, socially, and perhaps most importantly, spiritually. a wonderful message of hope that we have for our society, but for every individual that makes up our society. A few years ago, my daughter went up to university, and one of the first people that she met, about the third person she met when she arrived up there, was a young Chinese girl. I'm going to call her Ruth. It's not her name. Ruth arrived at the university. She'd been living in the UK for a little while because she'd been preparing to go to university here in the UK. It turns out that Ruth came from what would be a relatively obscure Chinese city. It's 3 million people. But nobody would have known in it because there's actually probably only about 20 Westerners in that city. And my daughter had actually just returned from that city because she had been teaching English in one of the secondary schools in the city. They became friends. And over the course of the last 5 years, their friendship has continued. In fact, Ruth has become almost part of our family. She's had Christmas with us. She's spent holidays with us. She's just hung around us. They finish university. She's working up in town for a big multinational. She's kind of hung around us. She's been included in. We've included her in on our church life. And just a few weeks ago, Ruth sat down at our meal table with us and she said, "You know, I've got something I want to tell you. I've just decided that I want to be a Christian." That's wonderful, isn't it? That's a wonderful thing. You know, there are millions, tens of millions, billions of people out there that need to experience firsthand the message of hope. And it comes in words and it comes in actions. Today, gathering like this as we do, in one sense, it's a kind of answer or part answer to that prayer of Jesus there in John chapter 17. We're together. We're united. And we've got this amazing message of hope. The message is real simple. That Jesus was sent by the Father. He lived the perfect life, an example to every one of us of what humanity was designed to live like, how humanity was designed to be. And he died the sacrificial death on the cross and rose from the dead in order to make it possible for every one of us to be included in on the family of God. That is our message of hope. It's a message we can be proud of. It's a message that we want to gossip about it and proclaim it and tell people about it wherever possible. I'm so glad if you look in the program that there are examples there of Alpha courses that have been run and Christianity Explored courses that have been run. And they're happening all over the country and they're happening here in Marlow. And if you've never been on an Alpha course or a Christianity Explored course, make sure you get on one to dig in deeper as to this amazing message of hope. Let's pray together, shall we? Andy and the team, why don't you come up? Because we're going to sing a final song of worship. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you came to the earth. Thank you that you modeled life as it was intended to be. Thank you that you were obedient to the point of your death, in order to make it possible for this amazing message of hope to be available to each of us. Thank you that you rose from the dead. And in that act, you demonstrated to the whole of creation that death no longer had the power. Today, we celebrate that wonderful message of hope. And we receive it afresh to ourselves, and we ask you that you help us to include others in, to both hear that message, receive that message, and to enter into the family of God. We pray this in the amazing name of Jesus. Amen.